It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Over a span of about 30 years, gay marriage went from being supported by less than 12% of Americans to being the law of the land. We turn to a sociologist to consider how, in the space of a single generation, American views changed on the institution of marriage. We also talk about how social change happens and what we can learn from this case. How did you see attitudes about gay marriage change over time? What do you make of the generational change that you see when you consider the LGBTQ plus movement? And what do you think we can learn from this movement about other social change? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Peter Hart Brinson is Associate Professor of Sociology and Communication and Journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. He is also author of The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. Peter, welcome to The Morning Show.
Thanks very much for having me.
I want to start with a snapshot in time that you use in your book. It's June 26, 2015. The Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 that same-sex couples are protected under the 14th Amendment and cannot be denied the right to marry. The change has the support of a sitting president, and supporters celebrate even as opponents consider this a symbol of a lost moral compass. For you, this was a symbol of how dramatically the U.S. has changed and changed quickly. Tell us why.
A study came out not too long ago that showed that the rise in public opinion about gay marriage was literally unprecedented. No issue has ever changed so much so quickly. It was ultimately about a generational change in how young Americans thought about homosexuality. And it was a change that began way back in the late 1980s. And over the course of the 1990s and 2000s, slowly worked its way through the electorate and caused public opinion to shift as it went.
Well, let's talk about how gay marriage became accepted in just a few decades. Who should get credit for this change?
It's hard to assign credit or blame, if you will. The roots of the change go way back to the LGBTQ movement in 1987 and 1988, who were reacting to a series of negative changes that affected the community. One, of course, was the AIDS epidemic. The other was a Supreme Court ruling, Bowers versus Hardwick, which upheld the state's rights to criminally prosecute individuals for the wrong kind of sexual behavior. In response to those two events, the activists in the movement launched a campaign to change the ways that Americans think and talk about sexuality. And by 1992 or so, these different groups and different activists had been largely successful in persuading the media and the Democratic Party to talk about lesbians and gays as an identity rather than as a behavior. So Americans who came of age prior to 1987 or so grew up in a society where everyone talked about sexuality as behavior. It's something that you do. By contrast, young adults who reached adulthood after 1992, roughly after President Bill Clinton's election, came of age thinking of homosexuality as a behavior. I'm sorry, as an identity, sort of like race. So it's who you are, not what you do.
And how did that change take place?
There were a series of influential events between 1987 and 1992. One set of events concerned with what groups like the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation and ACT UP were doing. These organizations targeted news organizations and popular culture to get them to change the way, the terms in which they talked about homosexuality. Through coverage of the AIDS crisis, the news media learned that the gay community was a much more multidimensional community than the simple stereotypes would have suggested. And the mass media began to portray homosexuality as if it was a normal identity equal to heterosexuality. And, of course, many today will think, well, of course it is. But prior to that point, lesbians and gays who were represented in the media were portrayed as deviants, outcasts, and tragic figures. It was really around 1993 that we saw the rise of the quote-unquote normal gay character, where they were leading characters, side characters, neighbors, family members, friends, bosses, co-workers. They were just like straight Americans, just gay.
We have already have some phone calls coming in. 800-642-1234. You can join the discussion as well. Tom is with us from Port Wing. Tom, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Well, good morning to you. Yeah, I would like to challenge your guest's idea that attitudes have changed. They really haven't changed. 32 out of 34 states voted against gay marriage, and most of the opposition has simply been driven underground, even amongst liberal Democrats and young people. There is a rolling of the eyes. There's this tacit acceptance. But it is attitudes really haven't changed. It's just that it's not fashionable to be anti-gay. And nobody wants to take up and bury the flag on that particular hill as they have with the issue of abortion. But it's still there. And I really want to challenge your guest thinking that somehow in less than a few years since the Supreme Court forced it down the American people's throat, that we've all of a sudden decided, hey, it's a good thing. People really haven't. They just don't publicly state what they inwardly feel.
Tom, thanks for that call. Peter?
It is certainly true that a lot of Americans have not changed their minds about this issue. There are two different kinds of change, though, that are wrapped up in the change in public opinion. One type of change is the question that Tom is mentioning, whether or not people have changed their minds. The other type of change is a change of generational replacement. And this type of change is something that's very different. And this is one of the key forces that caused public opinion as a whole to change over the years. So generational change involves older Americans who have older worldviews and older beliefs. And by older worldviews, I mean beliefs and attitudes that were formed during an earlier period of American history. These Americans died and were replaced in the population, or replaced in the electorate, if you want to think of it that way, by younger Americans who reached adulthood in a different society. And so these younger Americans grew up, specifically the ones growing up in the 1990s, thinking about homosexuality in fundamentally different terms than older Americans did. And so as older Americans died off, those Americans who defined or understood homosexuality to be a behavior, as they died off, their beliefs died with them. And they were replaced in the electorate by people who held different beliefs and different attitudes about what sexuality is for us.
Peter Hart Brinson stays with us as our program continues. He's an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and the author of The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Over the span of about three decades, gay marriage went from being supported by less than 12% of Americans to being the law of the land. We're talking with a sociologist to consider how, in the space of a single generation, Americans' views changed on the institution of marriage. We're also talking about how social change happens and what we can learn from this particular example. How did you see attitudes about gay marriage change over time? Or don't you think they have? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. My guest is Peter Hart Brinson, author of The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. We didn't do something I normally like to do right at the top of the discussion. Let's define some terms here. When we use the term generation, what do we mean?
This generation can be a very confusing word because there's two very closely related meanings. Strictly speaking, a generation refers to generations within the family, so the relations between children, parents, and grandparents. But there's a broader meaning of generations that refers to what social scientists called cohorts. And a cohort simply refers to any group of people who goes through an event at the same time. Most people would be familiar with the idea of a birth cohort, that is everyone born during a certain year, or your high school graduating class. This book is all about generation in that sense of the term, how one group of people who grew up in one period of American society thought about homosexuality and gay marriage differently than a different generation.
So what are the signs that generational change is present or a factor in something happening in our culture?
The signs can come from almost anywhere, and that's one of the really interesting challenges of studying generational change. Generational change can manifest itself in how people talk. It can show up in people's behaviors. It can show up in the music people like, the ways people dress, how people vote. And so it's oftentimes difficult to determine what kinds of changes that we see in society are due to a generational change versus what kinds of things are due to other sorts of changes.
Let's take another call here. Jesse is with us in Green Bay. Jesse, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for having this conversation. I'm not certain if it's just for me personally with my family or if this is kind of a general kind of consensus, but I grew up in the Catholic Church. I went to Catholic schools. And as I started hitting my teenage years and questioning my own opinions and my own morals, at the same time, the Catholic Church hit their turmoil and all of the things that kind of shook the foundation of the Catholic Church. And it made me start questioning, you know, who gets to define what's moral and who gets to define what, and question that, okay, maybe homosexuality isn't a sin and maybe they aren't going to hell. And it really, like, allowed my personal opinions to change and develop into what I wanted. And I'm just wondering if that was kind of a general population thing, you know, when all that turmoil happens and people start going, okay, maybe we get to reframe what it means to be moral, not this foundation or institution.
Jesse, thanks for that. Thanks for that insight. And let's take Deb's call from Cottage Grove, because I think these are related, and then we can talk about that. Deb, thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to make a similar comment about the church's role, I guess, and my attitudes as well. I go to a more progressive church, and they're an open and affirming church. And basically, we just, you know, speak about gay people as it's all about love. So it's, you know, their love is the same as any other heterosexual love. So I think it's also about the people that, you know, you surround yourself with, too, and, you know, getting to know people a little bit and knowing that they're, you know, everyone is the same, and you know, it's, you know, you approach love of each other the same.
Deb, thanks. Thanks for that. Peter, one of the things you cite in your book, you talk about the research, public opinion research, and one of the questions was, I think, whether homosexuality was a sin or not. These two callers seem to kind of fit in with that. Talk a little bit about the public opinion research that that you cite in the book and how that shifted over time.
Sure thing. The single largest predictor of a person's opinion about same-sex marriage is whether or not they believe homosexuality is immoral or not. And over time, those attitudes changed right along with the attitudes about same-sex marriage. Whether or not the scandal in the Catholic Church may have caused people's views to change, and what some of the other sources of change might have been, scholars are still debating that right now. So we don't know for sure. What I can tell you is that when I did interviews with older generation and younger generation in Northern Illinois for this book, I heard stories very much like both those of the callers just now. Many people had a variety of different experiences with religion and a variety of different religious beliefs that led them over time to change their minds about the extent to which homosexuality is a sin and whether or not same-sex marriage is something that is morally supported. People continue to seek out religious guidance and spiritual guidance on their opinions about this issue, and it happens on both sides, whether you're supportive or opposed.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Joe in Waukesha. Joe, hello. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi, how are you? I guess what your guest noted, I think, has a central meaning, I think, on this. What, in other words, that the change is not what you do, but who you are. In other words, people who began to come out of the, you know, within families, friends, so an uncle who you know very well, an aunt, a brother, a sister, even a parent, decide to come out and say, well, this is who I am, where you may have had this one notion of homosexuality or LGBTQ people as what they do, you begin to see this is who these people who are who I love. How could I be prejudiced against people if, people I've known all my life, you know, family, friends, people I'm close to, I share with, and that has made, you know, major changes, I think, as more and more, as I said, LGBTQ people come out of the closet and has changed the views of people they know.
Joe, thanks so much for that insight. Peter?
Joe's story is the most common story I heard about the reasons that older Americans changed their mind. And it also gets to exactly what change happened during the 1990s that started this long sort of upward march of public support for same-sex marriage. On the one hand, you had more and more lesbians and gays coming out to their friends and their family and neighbors and coworkers, and people got to know them in the manner that Joe described. Even for Americans who didn't have gay friends or family members, though, they started to see representations of lesbians and gays on primetime television. Viewers may remember Ellen's coming out in 1997. It was a big TV event at the time. And in 1998, Will and Grace debuted, which was the first television show that began with a leading gay character. Even for Americans who didn't have gay friends, they sort of got to know gay characters as if they were friends or family members.
What can we learn about the role of generational change in social movements from what happened with gay marriage?
We might imagine generational change happening in a number of ways today. The movement that arose from the Parkland school shooting this past year, the current controversies surrounding the Me Too movement or Black Lives Matter. Regardless of how older Americans are responding to those events, we know that young people are reacting to them in a different way, and in a way that's probably going to be more enduring than the ways that older adults react. What's responsible for generational change ultimately is that some historical event triggers something in the minds of young people in their formative years, and those formative experiences have a way of shaping people's worldviews almost for life. It's not that they don't change when they get older, but they tend to be relatively enduring. And so young people growing up during this era are going to think a little bit differently about politics as a result of what's happening, and we may not see the effects of those changes for another decade or two.
Peter Hart Brinson, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Peter Hart Brinson is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and the author of The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. Coming up next, the rate of pay for private attorneys in Wisconsin who take on public defender cases is $40 per hour, and that's the lowest in the nation. As a result, fewer lawyers are accepting public defender cases, especially in more rural parts of Wisconsin. We talked to the state's public defender about efforts to boost the pay for these attorneys. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.